So Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. I'll just read these three verses again. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." So this evening we're going to look at these three verses, and we're going to look at it from the point of view of the different characters in it. The parents, who are there at the beginning, that's the them who bring the infants to children. Then we're going to think about the disciples. Then we're going to think about Jesus himself, and then we're going to think about the children. To finish, each character, something that we can, or the set of characters, and the things that we can learn as we look at these verses. First of all, let's think about the hope of the parents. Here in these verses, we see these parents bringing their infants, their little ones, to Jesus. Now, that's been happening right the way through Luke's Gospel. Many people are coming to Jesus, aren't they? We could look backwards to chapter 17, verse 20, when Pharisees came to Jesus to ask him some questions. Or back in chapter 17, verse 12, when some lepers came to Jesus. Or you could turn back before some of the parables. And in chapter 15, at the beginning there, some tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus. So many people are coming near to Jesus. Actually, there's some similarities with that one. In chapter 15, because as the tax collectors and sinners draw near to Jesus, there's a complaint then as well, which happens in this passage too, when these parents come. The children they're bringing, he uses the word infants, and they're being brought, which makes it sound like they're babies. We haven't had a baby in church for a while, so it's lovely to have a baby here. And they're seeing who's there in somebody's arms. That's the idea here, that people would bring their children to Jesus in their arms, because the children couldn't come. They're too small for that. And the parents are bringing these little ones to Jesus. And what do they want? They want Jesus to touch them. It doesn't really say much more than that. Just those words there. But it seems something that was done in their culture, probably the best reference to it is right the way back in the book of Genesis, to where we meet quite an elderly grandfather, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 48. And there, Jacob, who's quite old, nearly blind as well, and Joseph brings his sons, so Jacob's grandsons, to him to be blessed. And in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9, Joseph brings his sons. "These are my sons whom God has given me." And Jacob replies, "Bring them to me and I will bless them." And he lays his hands upon them and blesses them. He, in that case, sort of prophesies as well of what God is going to do through the lives of these two grandsons and things like that, and how they will become a great tribe in the land of Israel and so on. So there's something more going on in that as well. But here these parents want to come to Jesus. For Jesus to do that, like Jacob did, and to bless them, to ask for God's blessing upon these little ones. And Matthew has in his account that he might bless them and pray for them as well, implied in that he might, that Jesus might ask God the Father to bless these children as they come. Now, all sorts of other parents come to Jesus in the Gospels too. Maybe you can think of some of them. Some of them are quite famous, aren't they? You could think of Jairus, who comes to Jesus for his daughter has nearly died. Or you could think of the anonymous father who comes to Jesus with his demon-possessed son. There's also one who comes to see the disciples while Jesus is at the Mountain of Transfiguration as well. And there's a Canaanite woman who brings her demon-possessed daughter to Jesus earlier on in the Gospels as well. There were those regularly who would come to Jesus with their children. In those cases, there was something very drastically, something deadly happening with these poor little ones. And they came to Jesus, and the disciples let them. But here, these parents bring their happy, healthy children. The disciples have a bit of half about that. We'll get to them in a minute. But the parents realise something. That their happy, healthy children needed Jesus too. wasn't those just in desperate physical need, like Jairus, whose daughter was dying, or those who were demon-possessed and things like that. They had obvious, right, you know, in-your-face reasons for seeking help from Jesus. But these parents here, no, they still need help from Jesus. These parents realized their children needed Jesus' blessing. How much they understood of who Jesus was, or what exactly they were asking of him, we don't know in these verses. They could have just seen Jesus as a rabbi and wanted him to pray for their children. Maybe they did that with others. Maybe they realized more of who Jesus was, that he was God's own son. And they came to him knowing more of that. We don't know the amount of faith, what they had begun to understand. But they had faith to see that their children needed Jesus. And as we think of them, there's a lesson for us. There's a lesson for us adults here, isn't there? Perhaps for those of us who are parents. Perhaps for those who are grandparents. For those who are uncles or aunts. For those who work with children. For those who work in the schools, for teachers. For the Boys Brigade helpers, for those helping on camp next week. Do we see, like these parents did, the need there is? Children to be brought to Jesus. That without Jesus' blessing, they are in desperate need. And so we see the hope of the parents as they brought these little ones to Jesus, wanting his blessing. Something for us to do, perhaps if we're Christians. To do that, to come, to bring up these little ones who we might have some responsibility, some relationship with. We bring them to Jesus. We bring them in our prayers. We ask for Jesus to bless them. What about for the children here this evening? Well, here they are brought to Jesus. And you're here and you've been brought by somebody to church this evening. Do you know your need of Jesus too? To come to Jesus, seeking his help. However happy and healthy you might be, however lovely your life might be, do you realise, you youngsters, that you need Jesus, his blessing, his help? He's the only one who can save you. So we thought of the parents. They're the ones who begin it in verse 50. They're the ones who bring the infants to Jesus, that Jesus might touch them. So the story should be that the parents come and Jesus blesses them, but of course there's an interruption. And midway through verse 15, when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. So the disciples intervened. Maybe there was a big long line of parents coming up. Maybe there was a very big crowd around Jesus. And the disciples began to rebuke the parents, tell them off, rebuke the children. It's not really sure who exactly they're doing rebuking. But anyway, they're sending them all away. Go away, you parents. Go away, you children. And Jesus says, don't forbid them. In other versions, don't hinder them coming to me. Mark tells us in his account of this that Jesus was greatly displeased as he began to speak to the disciples. Not very often do you read of Jesus being greatly displeased. He was really quite livid, quite angry with this situation that was happening. He stopped the disciples in their tracks doing what they were doing. They were completely wrong. Maybe they had some kind motives. Jesus was definitely a very busy man. Maybe they were concerned for Jesus, that this continual business, busyness and tiredness, and there were queues of people all crowding around him. Sometimes they try and sort of usher Jesus away a little bit. And maybe they were being protective. And maybe they were being kind towards Jesus, not wanting to be overwhelmed by the things that were happening. But they did, as we've noticed, allow many other people to come to Jesus. So maybe in the disciples' mind, there was a little bit of a verdict there. Some people should come to Jesus, and others really shouldn't. They weren't as important. As we said in the previous chapter, the disciples clearly must have allowed the lepers to talk to Jesus, and must have allowed the Pharisees to talk to Jesus, and all sorts of people. And they didn't intervene then. But maybe it's because some parents, some little children, some noisy babies, some snotty toddlers. And the disciples say, oh, enough of this. We can't have this. Do you know how busy Jesus is? Do you know how important Jesus is? He hasn't got time for this little lot. But Jesus would not allow it. He steps in. The disciples have been rebuking the parents, but Jesus rebukes them. Say, no, you're the ones who are in the wrong. Let's just think of that error of the disciples for the moment. Were the disciples wrong Jesus? They gave a false impression of Jesus, didn't they? They said, go away. But when did Jesus ever say, go away? Actually, he clearly says the opposite. Come to me. So they were turning things on their head, weren't they? And giving a completely wrong perspective, a wrong impression of Jesus. The disciples were showing a cold shoulder, weren't they? But when did Jesus ever show a cold shoulder? No, he offered open arms, didn't he? So again, they were giving the wrong impression. They were being selective in terms of who could come to Jesus. Had Jesus ever been like that? No, he says the opposite. Whoever comes to me, I'll by no means turn away. So the disciples, really important. That's why Jesus intervened. The disciples were wronging Jesus. They were presenting this sort of appearance of Jesus. And maybe had Jesus allowed it to happen, for these parents to be sent back home with their children, what impression would they have got of Jesus that was completely wrong? So Jesus had to stop it. The disciples also wronged the parents. They wanted Jesus' blessing. And the disciples sort of refuse it on Jesus' behalf. Say, no, Jesus isn't going to give you that. Jesus isn't going to give you. How dare you bring these children up to Jesus? They intervene, they refuse, they interfere, they interrupt. But the parents were doing an entirely right thing in seeking Jesus' blessing. The disciples, thirdly as well, wronged the children. They start shooing away these babies, these toddlers. What wrong had they done? There they were, wanting to be blessed for Jesus to lay his hands upon. What had they done wrong? Well, there's something for us to think a little bit about there too, isn't there? We think of the error of the disciples. These disciples who'd been with Jesus so long, they still ended up making quite a mistake, didn't they? That Jesus has to intervene about. And maybe even if we've been disciples of the Lord Jesus for a little while, might there be things about us, things that we sort of portray, things that in our conversations with other people, could we present a wrong impression of Jesus? That's an important thing. That's quite a serious thing for us to think through as disciples of Jesus, isn't it? Could we be like these disciples, shooing people away from Jesus, rather than encouraging them to come close? Jesus does in other places have a really strong warning, doesn't he? So whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, would be better off having a millstone tied around his neck and thrown in the deepest ocean. We need to be careful, don't we? To be careful of how we present Jesus, how we witness for him, what we say of Jesus, what we show of Jesus in our lives. Well, thirdly, then, we thought of the hope of the parents, the error of the disciples. Thirdly, then, the welcome of Jesus. Verse 16. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus put a stop to it, the shooing, a way that the disciples were doing, maybe even in there trying to be kind and making a little bit of protective ring around Jesus. Jesus, no. Out of the way, disciples. You two to the side a little bit. Let the little children come to me. Mark tells us in his gospel that he took the children then in his arms. Matthew tells us that he put his hands upon them. And we see there the welcome of Jesus. These little ones, these babies, these toddlers, these children, they were precious in God's sight. The parents had come because they wanted Jesus' blessing. And Jesus knew they needed his blessing. And so he says, come to me. Let the little children come to me. And what a wonderful thing we find in the Gospels. How many times, that'd be a good thing to think through. How many times can you think of when Jesus says something along those lines of come to me? Come to me, all you are weary. Come to me, you little ones. He's always offering it, isn't it? For people to come to him. Never, like we were saying with the disciples, never giving the impression of a cold shoulder. Never saying, go away. Never being selective. No, open arms. Here, welcoming these children to himself. And what does he say? Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, or sometimes translated, do not hinder them. Don't make it difficult for them. For such is the kingdom of God. They belong. They belong in the kingdom. They're welcome in the kingdom. They can come into the kingdom. For where were they coming? They were coming to the king, weren't they? The king was the one who was sitting there. Let the little children come to me. And as they do that, as the children did that, he says, theirs is the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the welcome of Jesus. To welcome the children to himself. And again, for us this evening, to extend that welcome of Jesus. For the youngsters, for the children here this evening, to come to Jesus. This is what he says. He says it to the little ones here this evening. Come to me. Let the little children come to me. For such is the kingdom of God. What about us? Even if we're not children. Even if we're much older. So many invitations, aren't they? The welcome of Jesus. The invitation to come. To come and receive him. To come to the one who is the king. Jesus encourages all to do that. So this evening, have you, whether you're a child, whether you're a bit older, whether you're an adult, whatever, have you come to the king? Come to the one who owns the kingdom. And lastly then, the kingdom for children. In verse 16, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Jesus welcomes the children, as we've just been saying. He says, let the little children who come to me, theirs is the kingdom of God. For in coming to Jesus as King and Saviour, we come into the kingdom, don't we? So as these little ones, again, it's hard to know exactly what was there in the minds of the parents, even more so perhaps to know what was in the mind of these children. As these little babies, little infants, little toddlers, little children came to Jesus. Jesus says, but as they come to me, as they begin at least with their little childlike faith, begin to realise who I am, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, as they continue coming to me. John Newton, the famous hymn writer, the famous slave ship captain and all the rest, he wrote of the kingdom of God, it is a kingdom of children, not of adults. More of that in a moment. He says, there is a welcome for children in God's kingdom. And John Newton, after he finished up at sea and became the pastor of a church, he used to gather the children around himself, tell them stories of the ships and the sea, teach them to make model boats. And some people said, what are you doing? It's wasting time with children. In that time, there's any sort of children scavenging on the streets and homeless ones and all these kind of things. He said, no. John Newton said, there's a welcome in God's kingdom for them. Let the little children come to me, says Jesus, for of such is the kingdom of God. We must never say to children, never give the impression to children, we're saying to them, when you're a bit older, you can follow Jesus. That is never the message we give. We never give that message to anyone. Don't say to anyone, oh, in a little while, wait a bit, and in a little while, you should follow Jesus. What a point. That's not the message of the gospel, is it? To say, wait a while, and then follow Jesus. No, it's to come and follow Jesus now, isn't it? He's there. He's the saviour for little children. He's the saviour for all. There's a welcome for children. There's a welcome for anyone who would come. And the message of the gospel, of course, is the opposite. Never to delay. Never to think, oh, yeah, in the end I'll do it. I'll do it when I'm a bit older. I'll do it in a little while's time. No, do it now. Jesus says, come to me. Not wait a while and come when you fancy a bit later. No, he says, come to me now. And again, as we turn those things round, we never say to children, when you're a bit older, you can follow Jesus. We must never give that impression that they've got to wait a while. Now, they should follow Jesus now. They should come to Jesus now. They should receive him as King and Lord and Saviour now. And actually, Jesus says a little bit more in verse 17. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So he said, we never want to say to children, when you're a bit older, you can come to Jesus. But in a sense of verse 17, we do say to adults, when you're a bit younger, you can follow Jesus. When you're a bit younger, you can follow Jesus. Meaning by that, when you're a bit more like a little child, you can come to Jesus. What's Jesus getting at in those last verses? Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Well, what do you need to receive the kingdom of God, or to enter it, in the words of that verse? What do you need to enter the kingdom of God? Well, you need faith. You need repentance. You need trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in him. Jesus, the King, who's given his life, who there on the cross laid down his life and gives his forgiveness. And we receive the kingdom of God, we enter into it by faith, by repentance, by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And young children can have those things, can't they? What age do you have to be to have faith in Jesus? What age would you have to be to repent, to say sorry for your sins? What age do you have to be to know that Jesus is the King? Those things can be known by a very young child, can't they? Oh yes, they'll grow in those things. They'll grow in that knowledge and grow in that faith as the years go by. But they don't need to put it off now to come to Jesus. And so again, as we've been thinking for the children here this evening, what do you need to come to Jesus, to enter the kingdom of God? But to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, to confess your sins, to say sorry, to ask for his forgiveness, to trust in the King who died on the cross for you. And actually, we only need those things to enter the kingdom of God. And in some ways, those things are simplest when we're young. As the years go by, we tend to grow more proud, more ambitious, more cynical. We grow a bit harder. We become aware of more temptations and of worldliness and things like that. As the years go by, it can actually become a bit harder to enter the kingdom of God. That's why we never want to give the impression to somebody, oh, you should do it later. No, you should do it now. Because the Satan will only try and make it more and more difficult the longer and longer they delay. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're at the minute delaying coming into the kingdom of God. Maybe you know lots of the things about it. Maybe it kind of does make sense on one level. But deep down you know you haven't come to Jesus and haven't come into his kingdom. There's a warning in the Bible that actually those opportunities can sometimes get further and further apart, and it can be harder and harder to come to Jesus as the years go by. If you turn that round, we're thinking of how simple it is to enter the kingdom of God. If entering the kingdom of God was very, very complicated, if the only way to receive the kingdom of God was through great wisdom, through vast knowledge, through immense acts of good deeds, through vast amounts of hard work, then children couldn't do it. And who could do it? If Jesus had set the bar so high and said, only people who enter the kingdom must have all of this, great wisdom, vast knowledge, a vast array of good deeds, then no one would enter it at all. And people would be thinking, oh, I have got to wait a while. I have got to wait until I've learnt this, that and the other, or done this, that and the other. No, Jesus says, no. Let the little children come to me. All that is needed is faith and repentance and a heartfelt trust in me. And come back to our same question, how do we enter it? Well, he says in verse 17, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Receiving something is what children do, isn't it? We adults, how do we get things, anything? We get it by working. We adults get it by getting a paycheck and getting paid. And we work hard for something. And we go to the shops and we do this and we that. And we purchase something. Children don't do any of those things. For their food, for their clothes, they just receive things, don't they? That's how it's meant to be. That's how it's meant to be. They don't work to put bread on the table. They don't go to the shops and purchase the things they need, do they? They just sit down at the table and expect to receive something. That's what it's like, isn't it, in life? Children receive things. We adults, we have to work for things. And that's how life, a lot of things in life work. But the kingdom of God is totally different. The kingdom of God, all of us just have to receive it. And maybe sometimes that's the trouble for us adults. That we still have that mindset that we've got to work. Because that's what happens with every other thing in life. We want a car, new car, if we want some clothes, if we want food, whatever it is, we know we've got to work for those things. And that's the mindset of us adults. And maybe sometimes that mindset is a bit of an obstacle. Because for the kingdom of God, we just receive it like little children. And that's what we have to do, isn't it? That's what faith is about. To come with nothing. To come to Jesus. To come as little children. And to receive what he freely offers. There at the cross, he offers his forgiveness. There at the cross, he offers life. And we receive it. And so, you know how we said, we must never say to children, when you're a bit older, you can follow Jesus. But we did flip it around and say, we might say to adults, when you're a bit younger, you can come to Jesus. Sometimes when we're teaching the gospel to adults, actually we are trying to say, you've got to become a bit younger. We know physically that can't happen, but you've got to think like a little child. It's nothing you're going to do here that's going to earn yourself a place in God's kingdom. You've got to receive it like a little child. And so, as we said, it's a kingdom for children. For those who come like children to our Heavenly Father, to our Saviour, to receive from him. And so we sang in our last hymn that it is a thing most wonderful, or most too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. In our hymn books, it comes right at the very end, under a title, Hymns for Children. But as adults, we never outgrow them, because it's still the same. We can't understand. However old we might be, however long we've been a Christian, we still find it hard to understand. It does seem almost too wonderful to be that God's own Son would come from heaven and die to save a child like me, because that's what we are. All just children. And we come to Jesus. And we receive his welcome. Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Well, let's make sure we are entering the kingdom of God, coming to the King. And his open arms, however young we are, however old we are, coming to the Lord Jesus and receiving from him in repentance and faith.